Robinson is, but talk to your grandparents about it, or your parents, or Google it online. You'll find out that he was one of the greatest third basemen that there ever was, long before Cal Ripken and Manny Machado came along. But anyway, I saw Brooks Robinson that day, and later on I got an autographed baseball of his. And man, it was so special having that baseball. I had my own little plastic case for it, set it up there on my chest of drawers in my bedroom, you know. And I was just the biggest, thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And then I got older, and I have a younger brother, and I went out and was gone, and some of his friends came over, and from what I understand, they wanted to play baseball. So guess which baseball they took? My autographed Brooks Robinson baseball. And of course, when I came home, you know, it's set up there, and I was like, what is these green smudges all over this baseball? And then I figured, put two to two together, and figured out that my brother had stolen my baseball, my autographed Brooks Robinson baseball, and used it to play baseball with. Man, I was furious. I could have killed him. But my father, being a wise man as he is, he found out what was going on when the ruckus took place in the bedroom that night. And he broke us all up, and he said, now what's going on? And I said, my brother, Ray, he stole my baseball and used it to play out there doors. Look, it's all green. And so my father said, you know, told my brother that he needed to apologize. And then he told me I needed to forgive my brother. Now that was hard to do, let me tell you. Because this is my baseball that Brooks Robinson had autographed. But I did. And that day I learned about forgiveness. And I also learned about stealing. So for your young disciples out there, you need to learn about forgiveness. And you need to ask people before you borrow anything of theirs so that that's not stealing. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us, O God, to learn to ask before we borrow anything, that we just don't take things, O God. And for those that have had things stolen from them, help us learn to forgive. Because Jesus says, if you do not forgive, how is your Heavenly Father going to forgive you for what you've done wrong? Help us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, for the adult message, which the young disciples can listen to it as well. We are in this beautiful time of Lent where we are preparing ourselves for Easter, and we have been coming across this passage of Scripture and studying it, found in the book of Isaiah 53, verse 5. But Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his wounds we are healed. It was for the wounds of our transgressions that God wounded Jesus. And the Ten Commandments, God's rules for holy living, show us our transgressions. So we have been studying each one of these Ten Commandments. And this morning we are coming to the seventh commandment, which is found in Exodus 20, verse number 15, and you probably have already guessed it. You shall not steal. Let us pray. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we have opened up your words this morning. Speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to understand where we have stolen, and help us to ask for forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, some people would quickly say that, hey, they have never stolen anything in their entire lives. They have never robbed a bank. They have never shoplifted. They have never taken something that was not theirs. Ah, that may be true, but then there may be some that say, well, you know, I haven't done any of those things, but, you know, cheating on taxes is not considered a stealing per se. Well, Jesus addresses this situation of taxes in Luke 20, verses 20 through 22. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be honest in order to trap Jesus by what he said, so as to hand him over to the jurisdiction and authority of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are right in what you say and teach, and you show deference to no one, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" And Jesus, perceiving their craftiness, said to them, "Show me a denarius." Now, Jesus, this "they" in here is actually referred to in Luke 20, verses 1. One day, as he was teaching the people in the temple and telling the good news, the chief priests and the scribes came with their elders and said to Jesus, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things, and then who is it that has given you this authority?" So the people that are trying to trap Jesus in this situation are the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes. And what they're trying to do is this idea of paying taxes. They're trying to trap Jesus into this situation that if he says, well, don't pay taxes to Caesar, well, of course, the people are going to cheer that on. They're going to be real happy about that. But this would be in violation of God's law of stealing, and Jesus would never do that. Matter of fact, in Matthew 5, verses 17 through 18, Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth have passed away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished." So Jesus would never sin. He would never violate God's law, especially God's law of stealing. So if Jesus says, "Do not pay your taxes," then the Roman authorities are going to be very upset. The crowd will be happy. But if Jesus says to the people, "You should pay your taxes," then the people are going to be very upset. They may even want to stone him to death. Now, no one likes to pay their taxes, but we all must pay our taxes so that the government will be able to provide us with safety and security. So, what is Jesus going to do? So, Jesus says, "Show me a denarius whose head and whose title does it bear?" And they said, "The emperor's." And he said to them, "Then give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able in the presence of the people to trap him by what he said, and be amazed by his answer, they became silent. Give to God the things that are God is actually an indictment on all the ways that we have stolen from God. Now, you may say to yourself, well, how have I stolen from God? Well, when you were shopping the other day, did you pick up 4 packages of toilet paper or more instead of your normal 2? Did you stockpile on meat and canned foods? When you were shopping, did you think of yourselves instead of thinking of your neighbors? And for all of you that still have a job in this present day, are you going to try to help out your neighbor who's been laid off? And how about the school children playing outside and have a wonderful time? Will you holler out the door of them to go inside and be quiet? Will you tip generously at the restaurant when you go to get your takeout meal? And we should tip even though we're getting takeout meals, because normally you would go in and sit down at the restaurant and you would pay a tip. So you should do the same in this day and age. We steal from God when we do not think of others before thinking of ourselves. Now, I know that people are scared and worried. People are filled with concern. People are filled with anxiety at this time. And all these feelings are appropriate for what we are going through. The virus is highly transmittable and very deadly. And we need to take all the precautions. But we do not need to allow this virus to change who and whose we are. Let me say that again. We need to take the precautions, but we do not need to allow this virus to change who and whose we are. We are beloved children of God. Yes, take all the precautions. Just yesterday, me and my wife went out and we had to do a little shopping. I got a little project going on and I needed some glue dots. So we pulled up to the Walmart and we found that there were loads of people going into Walmart. And so we knew there was a Staple across the street, so we decided to go to the Staple where there was less people. Cost us a little bit more, less people, get in, get out, you know. Take those precautions. We need to take those precautions. But don't let this situation causes you not to think of the needs of others. God is in charge, amen? And God will see us through this. When you feel scared, worried, filled with anxiety or fear, go to your knees on prayer. God is right there, willing to hear your prayer. Tell him how you feel. You know, every time I do this, God fills me with a sense of peace. You know? And if you've taken advantage of your neighbor, ask God forgiveness. Seek forgiveness from the neighbor if possible. Jesus was nailed to the cross between two thieves, even though Jesus had committed no sin, including the sin of stealing. In Luke 23, verse number 39. It's starting actually, verse 32. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Nonetheless, he was crucified. Jesus was crucified as a criminal, even though he committed no sin. He suffered and he died for all of us. The heart of God was wounded by his only son being nailed on the cross. And by his wounds, we are healed. Now, one of those criminals experienced the healing that God makes available to all of us. Farther on in Luke chapter 23, starting verse 39. One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God? And since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied to him, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now we don't have to wait until we die to experience this healing. It is available to all of us here and now. If we will surrender to God, confess our sins to him, God will pour out upon us his love, his grace, and his mercy. Or will we be like the other criminal who did not surrender his life to God and never experienced paradise. He died in his sins, and he is forever separated from God in eternity. This is what Jesus said happened to the goats in Matthew chapter 25. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at the left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." And then he will say to those at his left hand, "Excuse me, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." They will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And Jesus will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We steal from God when we do not think of others, but only of ourselves. The good news, the gospel message, is that we can be forgiven of this sin when we repent and confess our sin to God. And then God will forgive us of this sin and all sin. And as freed and forgiven people, then we can become agents of change for God. God gives us the opportunity to help with the needs of others, to pray with them, and to encourage them. We watch out for them as God watches out for us. We should never look down on anyone. This is hard work, and it can be very challenging. But let us remember, the work of what Christ did for us on the cross was excruciatingly painful and took every ounce of will for Christ to endure the cross. Some of us now have time on our hands that we didn't have in the past. So let us use this time to reach out to our neighbors, give them a call, ask them how they're doing, ask them if they need anything. Ask to pray with them. Be Jesus to them. I've been taking this time to do this, and I can tell you it has been very rewarding to me, and it can be for you. This sharing of God's love, even if it is a personal sacrifice for us, is what Jesus says when Jesus refers to give to God what is God's. Jesus did that for each one of us. Let us not steal, but let us take the opportunities that are given to us to be Christ's ambassador for others. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words today, oh God. Help us to use every opportunity to give to God what is God's, by helping out our neighbors, by being ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue with our service today by singing Above All. Thank you.
getting ready to share Holy Communion, I just wanted to share a little story with you. Our loving First Lady and pastor's wife, Joanne, gave us all these small little wooden crosses as we entered into Lent. And I happened to have a 3.5-year-old granddaughter, and she had the best statement in the world about it. She picked it up by the bottom and waved it at me, and she says, "This is full of power." And that's what we all need to know. The cross is full of power because of Jesus' sacrifice for us. So as we go into this time of communion, I want you to remember that. The cross is full of power.
And if you'd like to join us.
If you'd like to join us for communion today, you can get out your, have your cup of coffee, your donut, or biscuit, or whatever, and you guys can find a seat down there, I guess. So that you can join us for communion. If you got donut, juice, whatever it is, just have that available to represent Christ's body given for us and his blood shed for us. Christ, our Lord, invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart, that we have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray in silence, confessing our sins unto God, who is most graceful to forgive us of all our sins. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right, a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the chalice and he lifted it up and he gave thanks to you, Father Almighty. And then he took the chalice and he passed it around to all of his disciples gathered there. He passes it to us this morning. He said, "Take, drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And later on in the supper, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now at this time, I want you to take your hands and put it over your cup. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts. Well, put it over your top of your bread, whatever it's donuts or whatever, biscuits or whatever. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread, and now place it upon your cup, on the wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and all of us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time we're going to serve Holy Communion.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling each one of us to be your ambassadors, especially in this time that we find ourselves, in, O God. Help us, dear Lord, to reach out to our neighbors, to give them a phone call, to see what they might need, to pray for them and be Christ to them. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Have a great day. Enjoy your week. Remember to social distance and that God loves all of his children. Have a wonderful and wonderful day. Amen.